Well, good morning and welcome to August. It is August the 1st in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin today before the Lord. We're just not going to launch into reading and talking. We're going to begin before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's right here, right now. And let's enter the day in consecration. Wake up, sleepers, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, What We Say Versus What They Hear. Our text is Acts chapter 25, verses 20 through 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. I was at a loss how to investigate such matters. So I asked if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial there on these charges. But when Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision, I ordered him held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear this man myself. He replied, Tomorrow. You will hear him. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Some of you will remember from years ago the cartoon strip called The Far Side. It was my favorite, and I miss it so much. Remember that one of the man yelling at his dog? In the top of the split frame was a man with his hand pointed toward his dog's face. Then the caption, What We Say to Dogs. Okay, Ginger, I've had it. You stay out of the garbage. Understand, Ginger? Stay out of the garbage or else. Then this caption in the bottom of the split frame, from Ginger's point of view. What dogs hear. Blah, blah, Ginger. Blah, 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 Ginger. Blah, 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 blah. What's the connection to the text? Paul likely made a quite eloquent witness to the gospel and the resurrection and sinners and salvation and so forth. All Felix heard was a dispute among warring religious parties and something about a dead guy named Jesus, who Paul said was alive. That's what it looks like to the watching world when they see our vitriolic internal conflicts and battles. There is likely a massive disparity between what we say and what they hear, because, as they say, actions speak louder than words. Today's text reminds me of a slightly different rendition of the cartoon. Picture in the top of the split frame the average follower of Jesus proclaiming the gospel to hearers who have been exposed to the church but do not know Jesus. What we say. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Now, the bottom part of the split screen, what the unbelieving world hears. Blah, 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 John 3:16, blah, 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 God, blah, blah, Romans 5:8, blah, blah, Jesus, blah, 2 Corinthians 5:21, blah, 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 Ephesians 2:8 and 9, blah, 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 Jesus, blah, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Now, lest I betray my deep confidence in the Word of God to speak on its own terms and with its own power, I think you see my point. If our lives and relationships are not ringing true to the texts we proclaim, we tarnish their witness. This is why Jesus prayed things like, "That all of them be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me," John 17:21. And it's why Paul wrote things like, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life." That's Philippians 4, 2, and 3. What we say is often the least of our witness, or at least it will not matter much if our relationships are not backing it up. It's why we pray for transformation every day here. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. Less of my old self, more of you, Jesus, makes for more of my true self, which is a better me. A bigger and better you in me is a bigger and better me, yes. Or maybe a smaller me. Yes, to that end, Lord, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that my life become the love of God, and that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father. Amen. In the journal prompts, are you living in open conflict with other believers? Have you done all that is possible in your power to make peace? Why not? Have you ever considered that your broken relationships could be leading people away from Jesus? Well, we're going to sing here in a minute. We're going to sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," the classic hymn. That's number 405. But before we go there, just a couple of further thoughts. It's amazing how Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, midstream singles out two women in the church, singles them out, names them, and says, you got to work it out. You got to work out your conflict. And then he's telling other people, help these women, he says. Help them to bury the hatchet, to come to terms, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And that's not just sort of, you know, agree with each other. It's like, work through the differences. You know, it's just not worth it to carry broken relationships in the kingdom. They are an encumbrance to the movement of the gospel. We think it doesn't matter, but we can't really see what they're doing. They're compromising. They're like cancer in a body. And I'll grant you this, is that, you know, you can only do what you can do. Romans 12 says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that's saying two things. It's saying, A, it's not always possible, and B, it doesn't all depend on you. But how can we mend broken relationships is the question. And getting back around to the entry here, Festus, Agrippa, Felix, maybe Caesar later, none of these guys really are giving any credence to what is being said because the absurdity of the dispute is blinding them to the truth of the gospel. And I think it happens all the time, you know, in our Christian communities. There's so much pride out there. People can't say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Instead, they say things like, if I offended you, I apologize, which is offensive. It's not an apology. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Can we mend the fence here? I mean, that takes humility. But unfortunately, many Christians really struggle at that point. And it's not so much because they don't want to mend the fence. It's because they're broken. And broken people break people. They can't help it. It's just constitutionally who they are. And they're broken because they've not done their work. They've not healed their wounds. I mean, so many people are older people. They're still carrying the father and the mother wounds. And they're carrying wounds that have happened in marriages and in families and in churches in the past. And they've not really done the inside, or they've not let Jesus, right, bring his healing and displace their sickness, their brokenness. And that's a process. But until that happens, you know, if you want to be a healing agent, you got to be a healed agent. Healed people heal people. Broken people break people. And the peril of this is what happens. That's the thing, you know, in so many of our Christian organizations and communities, they're not wicked people. They're broken people who've never done the work. They've never gotten real. They've never become honest. They've never worked through their pain. And they've denied it, in fact. I've seen so many people who this is how they carry on. And they come into positions of high leadership often because they often are very controlling people as a result of this unhealed brokenness in them. And the higher a person like that rises in an organization, the more dangerous they become. and they do great damage. And as I would say, you know, that doesn't, broken people, I would put it like this, broken people are not wicked people, but they are capable of great wickedness. And that's what we see going on here between Paul and the Jews. I mean, these are like Pharisees, and they're upstanding, like community leaders. But my goodness, are they ever broken that they're planning ambushes? They're secretly plotting to kill this man. And that's, again, you see it all the time in Christian organizations, you know, takedowns of leaders and plots to usurp and discredit, and it's carried on by wicked people so often. Broken people, let's put it like that, broken people. And yeah, I'm going to stop there. You guys can tell this is something I'm wrestling with a lot, because I've witnessed it and I'm seeing it, and it's just grievous to me. We're going to sing. We're going to turn and we're going to sing our closing hymn today. Blessed be the tie that binds. Right? God's blessing is not poured out on disunity. It says it's where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, there he commands blessing, which is why we sing songs like Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. It's number 405 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. We're going to sing all six verses. They're short and sweet and to the point. And let's sing it as a prophetic prayer over the body of Christ. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. This glorious hope revives our courage by the way, while each in expectation lives and longs to see the day. From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. Amen. Well, go and mend any broken ties that you can today. It could be as simple as just a text message that says, you know what, can we circle back around and try to come at our friendship again, our relationship again. Yeah. Well, get your seeds, gang. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.